Well, before we open God's Word, let us go to Him in prayer. Well, Lord, we thank You that You come to us. We thank You that You give us Your Word so that we might know You, might know who You are and what You are about. We thank You that You tell us in Your Word who we are and what we should be about. Lord, we ask that in this time that we get to spend in Your Word, that we would submit to it, that we would come under Your Word and let it speak to us, that we would know Your grace in it, and that we would know Your challenge and know Your comfort. Lord, be with Your children now. Be with us as we hear from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so this morning we are looking at the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. So if you have your Bibles, maybe they're in front of you, maybe they're on your phone. Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. You'll be looking at a passage, verses 15 to 23. This is after Israel has come out of slavery in Egypt. God brings them to a place, Mount Sinai, on the mountain where they receive the covenant law. And now they are setting out on this wilderness journey. Numbers chapter 9. Starting at verse 15. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at His command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at His command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, or a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with His command through Moses. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We are living in a very uncomfortable time. Did you know that? We're living in a very uncomfortable time, this time of in-between. And when the pandemic first started, I don't know if you remember this, but we thought that it was going to last just a couple of weeks, a couple of months tops. But now, well, here we are, a year and a half into it. And for a lot of people, myself included, this last stretch has been the most challenging. We were open for summer. Things were looking like they were returning back to the way things were. And now in fall, we've reached this time of fall, and things are definitely not there. And we started out, a lot of us, we used a lot of our energy and a lot of our resources the past couple months thinking, yes, this summer we're going to get through this, and then by fall we're going to be done. The pandemic is going to be behind us. And so a lot of us used a lot of our resources, a lot of our energy, thinking that this was the last stretch of the race, only to find out that we're still in it. And not only are we still in it, we are exhausted and we are weary. We're in an uncomfortable place still, this time of in-between. And it's not just the pandemic. Well, you hear at first. You have just entered into a new season, into a new time of transition, now where you are between pastors. So Pastor Brian, he is no longer here, and you are in this space now, maybe this uncomfortable space, this time in between. A lot of mainline churches today, well, especially the Christian Reformed Church, we are wrestling with this issue of human sexuality. Well, the human sexuality report is out. The issue is out on the table. There are people with strong opinions on both sides of the debate. And yet we still have not settled. There is still this sense of ambiguity. Where are we going to land in this matter come next synod? We are still in this uncomfortable space of being in between. And as you look at the church as a whole, particularly this North American context, we have been in this long season of transition where we are no longer in a majority Christian culture, where schedules, where politics, the calendar, where our ethics, our morals, they're no longer widely based on Christianity. We're no longer accommodated to or receive benefits from a Christian culture. No, we have entered into this season where it's a post-Christian society, and we are learning how to live in this time of transition, and really this uncomfortable space. Well, experts call these times of transition liminal spaces. Has anybody heard that word, liminal spaces? Yeah. Well, it comes from this Latin word, limen, that means threshold. Threshold. So you think about a threshold, maybe like on a door, is where you are leaving one room and you are entering into the next room. But when you step over that threshold, you are in this kind of no man's land, this time of in between where you're no longer here, but you are not quite there yet. Now, these liminal spaces, this time of transition where we've kind of lost the sense, we've separated from what came before, but we're not quite into this space of what will be. We're in this uncomfortable time of in between, a liminal space. In liminal spaces, they're hard. They are really hard. They are often full of anxiety, and they are often a very disorienting place. Well, there's a leadership expert. Her name is Susan Beaumont, and she writes about these liminal spaces and the feelings that we can have, these feelings that come up during these times of transition. And she compares it to being a trapeze artist. So picture with me, imagine with me that you are a trapeze artist, where you are comfortably swinging from your first bar, where you know that this bar is holding you up and things are going good, but you are expected and you are asked to transition to this second bar, to the next bar. And so you let go, whether by choice or by force, you let go. And so you are in this time, this time of transition where your emotions are heightened and they can get a little bit wacky. And so you're in the air and you're thinking, am I flying? Or am I free-falling? Is the next bar going to be there for me? Is it going to support me? Or can I turn back? Can I catch that first bar, that original bar? We're in this time of unknown. These liminal spaces where our emotions are heightened. We're neither here and nor there. Well, this is where Israel is at. They've just come out of a place. They've just let go of their place in slavery in Egypt. So for the past 400 years, they spent the better part of this time being slaves in Egypt. Well, God, in His mercy, God has freed them from this place of slavery. He's promised to bring them into this land of abundance, the land of Canaan. But they are not there yet. They are neither in Egypt, nor are they in Canaan. They are neither here and nor there. They are in this uncomfortable space of being in between. And if you know the story, this is uncomfortable for Israel. There are times when they want to return to Egypt. Oh, at least we had food back in Egypt. At least we had meat back in Egypt. But there are also times when they want to push ahead, when they want to plow forward and just get into the land of Canaan. Where Moses, remember Moses is up on Mount Sinai. The people haven't seen him for a long time. And they say, Aaron, make us gods that we can follow. Make us gods that will lead us. Get us out of this place that we're in right now. It is too uncomfortable. Take us away from here. We want to be in the land, and we want to be in the land now. It's time of in between. So knowing that we are not the first of God's people to experience these times of in between, how does this story, how does this passage speak to us where we're at? What does it say about God? What is God doing? Couple things that we can say. First, what we can say is that God is the one who leads Israel into this time of wilderness. It is not Pharaoh. Pharaoh does not drive them out of Egypt. Pharaoh does not willingly let them go. No, it is God in His power who performs miracle after miracle, who gets them out of slavery. And it is this same God, the same loving, the same powerful God who brings them into the wilderness and He allows them to stay. Now, just as easily, just as quickly as God freed them from slavery in Egypt, He could have brought them into the promised land. Well, this should have been a short trip. This should have been a trip, a trek or a journey that takes the Israelites a couple months at most. But do you remember how long it takes? 40 years. 40 years. And God is behind it all. 40 years. Can you imagine if the pandemic stretched on for 40 years? Lord, I hope not. So, when we enter into these prolonged seasons of transition, we can know, we can be assured that God is in control, that God has led us into this place. Well, in the Reformed faith, in the Reformed tradition, we put a great deal of emphasis on something called the sovereignty of God. Have you heard of the sovereignty of God? The sovereignty of God says, it's this belief that says that God is in control. That God is always in control. That God is always seated on the throne. That God is always in the driver's seat. That nothing happens outside of His will. So when we enter into these seasons, when it feels like life around us is coming apart at the seams, when it feels like family life is being torn apart, when it feels like the church is on its last leg, when it feels like the political system or the healthcare system is near collapse, or for us personally, when the anxieties are too much, when the grief is too much, when we just want to escape, know that God is in control. The same God who set us free from the slavery, the bondage of sin, is the same God who has led us into this place of wilderness. The same God that allows us to stay here. Which makes a little bit more sense when we kind of look at what is going on in this passage. So in this passage, maybe you picked up on it, but it's not so much about the final destination for the Israelites. No, for God, it is more about the journey. Now, I don't know if you picked up on it when I was reading, but this passage is repetitive. It was a little bit dry. It was a little bit boring. Nobody was dying. Nobody was getting struck down by God. Nobody was, the fire was not shooting down from the sky. Nobody was complaining about what God was doing. Nobody was asking for a return back to Egypt. Get us out of this time. No, this is a pretty unique piece of scripture for Israel's history, because Israel was listening to God. Israel was following God. I don't know if you picked up on it, but it says, it repeated over and over again in these nine verses that whenever the Lord commanded, the Israelites set out. And at the Lord's command, the Israelites encamped over and over again. Well, the author is making a point that Israel is actually obeying God. Israel is following God's lead. It's like when you and I, if you ever go to a doctor's office and they sit you on the table and they take out a lighter, they take out their finger and they say, okay, now follow my finger. This is exactly what Israel is doing. Israel is following God's lead to the T. And you'll notice that in this passage, there is no mention of the promised land. There is no mention of Canaan in this passage. Because for God, this is it. God is being their God. The people are being God's people. This is it. This is good. Well, for the author here, the author of the book of Numbers, they intentionally put this piece right at the beginning of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, because it sets it in stark contrast to what is to come. You know what's to come. There's grumbling, there's complaining, there's insurrection, there's disobedience. Well, the author puts this right up front so you can see the stark contrast. But the author is saying, this is it. This is the way that it is supposed to be. Israel following God. It's not so much about where they're going to end up. No, right now, it is about this time, right here and right now, where Israel is submitting to God and they are following Him and they are finding their life in Him. So for us, it becomes a change. It becomes a shift in perspective. We're no longer trying to find comfort, fighting to get back into the past, the way things were when they were comfortable. We're not trying to plow ahead, rushing into this future. By the way, these are both ways of escaping. We either want to escape by getting into the comfort of the past, or escape by getting into the future. Anything just to get us out of this present state, just feeling uncomfortable. So for us, it is about the journey. It is settling into this time in the wilderness. So the question then becomes, how are we listening to God? Are we listening to God in this season? When I make my decisions, am I making them for the sole purpose of getting me out of this anxiety? Getting this church out of this present anxiety, getting us into a more comfortable place? Are we making decisions based on self-preservation alone? Are we making decisions that help us to feel just comfortable? Or are we actually listening to God? Are we taking the time to really listen, to really sink in and to hear His voice, to discern where He is moving? Now, as a church, we have a good process for making decisions. We come together as a council, right? Or we come together any other committee meeting. We get together and there's an issue, and we're good at analyzing the cost and the benefit. We're good at analyzing the strength and the weakness. We have discussions around the issue, then we vote on it, and this is good. This is a good process. But a question just to keep in the back of our minds. Are we considering the will of God? Are we truly discerning God's Spirit? There is a difference. Are we making decisions to get us out of anxiety? Or are we truly discerning where God would have us? And hopefully we are truly discerning where God would have us, because this is what God has been doing for millennia. God has been leading people into the wilderness for millennia. Think of Abraham and Sarah. They leave their home and journey to this land of Canaan. Think of Noah, who was put inside of a big boat for a period to endure the flood. Think of Joseph when he is put into prison in Egypt. Think of Jonah when he's put into the belly of a big fish. Think of Jesus when he is led by the Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days. Think of Paul when Paul is blinded for a period of time. Think of Paul when he is shipwrecked. Over and over again, God is leading his people into these times of transition, these times of in between. If you think about it, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, after they are removed from the garden, they enter into this time, this liminal space, this period of in between. They're no longer in the garden, but they've not reached the new heaven and the new earth. And this is where we are. This is where the biblical figures are. This is where we are. We are in this time of in between. But it's in this time of in between where God is doing his work. It is this time of in between where God is transforming us, where he is separating us from these unhealthy identities, these unhealthy longings, unhealthy behaviors and desires. And God is preparing us. God is doing the work in us for the time now to be his people. So the question is, are we following right here, right now, in the present? Or are we too concerned with getting back to what was comfortable? Are we too concerned with moving on into the future? Can we just sit here and let God do his work in us right now? And if all of this gets too uncomfortable, if your anxiety gets to be too much in this time of transition, know that God is near. Know that God is in this place. So for the Israelites, it was the cloud. It was the fire. The cloud, the fire would guide them where they were supposed to go. God's presence was near. God just doesn't free them from the misery of slavery and just leave them to be there on their own. No, he knows how fragile they are. He knows how broken this people is. And so he's there with them. He is there with them every single step of the way. In this dangerous place, this place full of threats and anxieties and doubts, God is there with him. His presence, they can see it. Just a couple chapters earlier, God tells the 12 tribes of Israel, he says, this is how I want you to set up your camp. I want you to put the tabernacle, the symbol of my presence, in the center of the camp. And then I want you to set up camp. 12 tribes around the tabernacle. 3 tribes, north, south, north, west, east, and south. I want you to set up around the tabernacle because I want all of my people, I want all of the tribes of Israel to see my presence, to know that I am there when you see the cloud, when you see the fire, to know that I am journeying with you. And this cloud was there. They could see it. They could always see it. It didn't lift up so high and go away for a stretch. No, it was always there. So for us, we don't have a cloud. We don't have a pillar of fire that we can see. We have something better. What do we have? We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. For God's people. For people who profess the Lordship of Christ. Who believe that Jesus Christ came to do what he said that he was going to do. That God himself came and lived on the earth in Jesus Christ, and he lived a perfect life. He walked as we were supposed to walk, and yet he was crucified. People didn't like that, so they crucified him. And in that crucifixion, Jesus Christ paid for our sins. That's what we said earlier, using our 5 fingers. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that we could have life, new life. And then he ascends back into heaven to be with the Father where he rules, now in complete control and authority. When we profess this, when we believe this, God sends His Spirit to live inside of us, to live among us as a community, and to dwell inside each and every one of us. So it is the same Spirit that reminds us, the same Spirit that tells us who we are, that says, you are not on the periphery. No, you are my child. You are my son. You are my daughter. It is that same Spirit that speaks it into us. It is that same Spirit that reminds us that God is good. That even in these times of transition, even in these times where we want to run away, it is there that God's Spirit reminds us that God is good. Not only did He free us from slavery, no, but He has us in this time to transform us and to shape us, to tell us that He is our God and that we are His people. And it is that Spirit, that same Spirit that leads us. And it doesn't just lead us. No, the Spirit carries us. The Spirit carries us. It allows us to sit in the discomfort. It pushes us to move when God is wanting us to move. It is that same Spirit that is leading us and that is guiding us. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, the times that we are in right now, these times of in between, they are very hard times. This is a hard place to be. We either want to drop back into the past to the old comforts, or we want to rush ahead into what is next. That's our tendency. That's where we want to go. So what do we do, though? What do we do when we can't go to the past because things have changed? We can't push ahead. We can't barrel into the future because we're stuck in this place. So what do? We take heart. We take heart. We confess the sovereignty of God, confessing that He is in control when it feels like nobody has control. God is in control. We surrender to His leading. We surrender to His guiding in this time, knowing that this is how He shapes us. This is the place where He shapes us as His people. And finally, we seek out that Spirit. We allow that Spirit to lead us and to guide us during these times. God is here with us. God is leading us in these times. And so we faithfully seek Him out, allowing His Spirit to work in us, and we do this all for the glory of God.